Hey, everybody. I'm Daniel Maldonado.
And I'm Art Cavazos. This is Jackson Walker, Fast Takes.
And we're just two business attorneys with a simple question.
What if you had access to hundreds of lawyers in nearly every industry and practice area, ready to give you real, actionable information for your business?
Art and I will be hosting JW Fast Takes occasionally to find out and share the answer with you.
And we might even have some fun along the way.
This week, we talked to Lindsay Berwick and John Wittenberg on the Paycheck Protection Program and some recent changes on eligibility and forgiveness. Lindsay and John, thanks for talking with us. Lindsay, my first question is for you. And let's get to the basics of the Paycheck Protection Program. What is the PPP in general terms?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having us. The Paycheck Protection Program, otherwise known as the PPP, is a loan program that provides assistance and relief to small employers and certain eligible self-employed individuals that have been impacted by COVID-19, and the loans are 100% guaranteed by the SBA.
So, John, I know some recent updates came out this week to the PPP program. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, be happy to. Glad to be here as well. This week, as the SBA has been prone to do since the program started last March, has provided additional updates to the program. Right now, the program is scheduled to expire on March 31st. That may change with the pending American Rescue Plan legislation. But right now, it's the earlier of when the money runs out or March 31st. So this week, the SBA came out with a couple of new applications. They've tweaked their applications over the last, 12 months that the program has been in place to really make it easier for folks to complete. And so the new applications are found on the SBA's website. We encourage folks to go to that website to look at applications for first draws and second draws, applications for forgiveness, answers to questions. They have a FAQ section, which is very, very helpful. And they also publish on that website the interim final rules, which are the kind of official interpretations and proclamations related to the program.
When you say that the program will be expiring March 31st, does that mean they'll be accepting no new applications at that time or possibly earlier if the money runs out?
That's the deadline for applying for a PPP loan. I think it's important for folks to realize that this is lender-centric, if you will. In other words, the lenders can themselves decide whether or not they're going to continue to accept applications all the way up to March 31st. That's the program period, but we have seen in other instances lenders saying, we don't want to be slammed at the end of the program, so we're going to potentially cut it off a week or two early. So the key is to check with your lender and stay in contact with your lender as far as what their timing may be.
So the takeaway for potential borrowers is act fast.
Very much so.
Who's eligible for the second draw? Do you have to have had a first draw in order to apply for a second draw?
Yes.
Okay. And can you still apply for a first draw if you never did last year?
Yes, you can, assuming you meet the eligibility requirements.
So for those businesses who did have a first draw last year and would like to apply for a second draw this year, I'm hearing that one of the biggest tripping points or obstacles is they need to have a demonstrated 25% loss in gross revenue as compared to the same quarter in 2019. What can a business do if maybe they lost 20%, 24% of their gross revenue, still a very significant loss, but don't meet that 25% threshold?
Then they're not gonna be eligible, Art. I mean, that's one of the, it's kind of a black and white rule, if you will, as far as that eligibility requirement. So it's a 25% reduction in revenue. And the way they do that is they calculate it by comparing the applicant's quarterly gross receipts for one quarter in 2020 with those receipts for the corresponding quarter in 2019. So if you use Q3 for 20, you have to look at Q3 for 19. And so that's a really, I think there's a little bit of a little confusion with when the rules came out on how that worked, but that's how the 25% reduction is calculated, and you have to provide the supporting documentation. The PPP lenders are very, very stringent on that point. They want you to provide evidence that you did suffer a 25% reduction.
Well, in addition to what John just explained on the 25% reduction, the other unique eligibility requirement for second draw loans is they've reduced the number of employees for eligible borrowers from 500 to 300. And unlike in the first draw round, where you could also use the alternative size standard from the SBA, that's no longer applicable. And so it's a hard and fast 300 employee rule for the second draw applicants, and that's inclusive of affiliates. So the affiliation rules still apply as well.
And so do those rules apply to both first and second draw, or is that also a second draw only requirement?
Well, the 300 employee is a second draw only requirement. The first draw still remains at 500 or the applicable alternative standard. The affiliation rules apply to both draws, and across the board are the same.
So it sounds like if you still haven't made your first draw, it may be a little easier to still get that. But if you're looking for a second draw, there are going to be some more stringent requirements that need to be met in order to get that.
That's right.
So how can the loan proceeds be used if you do manage to get proceeds?
The PPP proceeds, they've actually expanded the permitted uses when they restarted the program in January. So I'll run through the list really, really fast. Eligible payroll costs, and there's a specific definition of what constitutes an eligible payroll cost. I would just encourage the listeners to again, go to the SBA's website to see that laundry list. Group health care, disability, all the sort of employee benefits, mortgage interest, rent payments, utility payments, interest payments on debt obligations that were incurred before February 15th of 2020, refinancing of SBA EIDL loan made between January 31st of 2020 and April 3rd of 2020. And then there's some other items that I won't go into in great detail that were added as far as operations expenditures, property damage costs, supplier costs, etc. Again, it's a long list, and I would just encourage folks to go to the SBA website to get the details on that. But those are the permitted uses of PPP loan proceeds.
John, is there a current moratorium on when the loan needs to begin to be repaid?
So the way that the loan terms work, it's a five-year maturity, but there's a deferment, which I think is basically the equivalent of a moratorium. There's a deferment of principal and interest until the date on which the SBA remits the forgiveness to the lender. So once that happens, that's when the loan has to, well, if the loan's forgiven, obviously there's nothing to be paid back. And if the loan's not forgiven, it has to be paid back at that, start the amortization and the repayments at that time. It has to be basically 10 months after the end of the loan covered period. The loan covered period is between 8 and 24 weeks. So that's the period when they say covered period, and a lot of folks kind of, I think, have a little bit of a misunderstanding of that. That's the period of time from the date the loan is dispersed until effectively the funds are used up, or 24 weeks if you go all the way out the 24 weeks. So there is effectively a moratorium on payments in the sense of a deferment of payments for that period of time.
And John, you say that the loan can be forgiven. How is that true? That sounds a little too good to be true. And what is the process for turning this loan into a grant and having it forgiven?
The primary criteria for loan forgiveness under the PPP is using the loan proceeds for permitted purposes during the covered period. 60% of the loan proceeds must be used for payroll costs. And as Lindsay mentioned when she was giving an overview of the program, this is a program that's really was intended and remains out there to help folks make payroll, to keep their employees on the payroll. And so they want a minimum of 60% of the loan proceeds to be used for that purpose. If it is, and you otherwise satisfy the eligibility requirements, so you are eligible for the loan, you used it for proper purposes, then you are generally speaking, going to be entitled to forgiveness, meaning, of course, that you don't have to pay the loan back.
And Lindsay, can you speak a little bit to the timing of such forgiveness?
Yes. So you submit your loan forgiveness application to the lender who made the PPP loan, and they have 60 days from receipt of a complete application. So it has to be all supporting documents included to review the application and issue a forgiveness decision to the SBA. And then the SBA has a time frame of 90 days after the lender issues its decision to the SBA to actually remit the forgiveness amount to the lender. So you are essentially looking at 150 days subject to a greater period if the loan is under review by the SBA for any reason, or if any of its affiliate loans are under review by the SBA.
So have we gotten any numbers or data back on how many loans are being forgiven or what percentage of loans are being forgiven?
Yeah, we have some numbers that are probably stale by now, but the last numbers we saw, there were approximately 34% of the loans have completed the loan forgiveness process, which is a total of approximately 31% of the total 2020 PPP volume. Across all loan sizes, over 99% of loan value has been forgiven on loans that have actually completed the forgiveness process. But where a lot of borrowers are struggling is if they have a loan or have a group of loans that total over $2 million or in some instances over $1 million, loans over $1 million only account for 1% of the forgiven count. So there's still a lot to be said by the SBA and determined on what their official quote unquote loan review looks like for the larger loans.
So the jury's still out, so to speak.
That's right.
Are there any differences in the requirements for forgiveness between the first and second draw?
No, they are substantially the same.
And are forgiven amounts taxable generally?
Not for federal income tax purposes. They are excluded from income. The challenge is apparently at the state level in the state of Texas. The comptroller's office has, I don't know if they've suggested as much as they've kind of left open the chance that a portion of the funds that are forgiven, you'd still have to include them in total revenue calculation for Texas franchise tax purposes. So that's something that is going to kind of probably weave its way through the legislature during this current session. And I know there's, as I understand it, there's a couple of bills pending that would address this. But so federal income tax, no. Franchise tax, stay tuned.
Well, thanks, John and Lindsay. Appreciate you sharing your insights.
Pleasure being with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. For more information and additional JW Fast Take podcasts and webinars, visit jw.com/fast. Music is by Eve Searles. You can follow Jackson Walker on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
This podcast is made available by Jackson Walker for informational purposes only, does not constitute legal advice, and is not a substitute for legal advice from qualified counsel. Your use of this podcast does not create an attorney-client relationship between you and Jackson Walker. The facts and results of each case will vary, and no particular result can be guaranteed. Thanks for listening.